Hi, and welcome to the podcast of First Presbyterian Church of Rogers, Arkansas. My name's John Arnold. I'm the pastor here. If we haven't met yet, I want to welcome you. It's going to be an awesome episode today because sometimes we try to make change in our lives and we find we keep relapsing. And part of the issue is we haven't gotten rid of old patterns that end up sabotaging us. So we're going to dive deep into that today about how we get rid of old patterns that may be preventing us from experiencing and receiving God's renewal. Now, speaking of God's renewal, this is part three in a series of finding God's renewal through His Spirit. And it is also part of a program we have called the Restoration Journey. If you want to know more about that, take a moment after the podcast and check out the description below. So let's go ahead and dive in.
The first scripture read this morning is short but very meaningful. It's from Zechariah 1, verse 4. Do not take your ancestors to whom the former prophets proclaimed. Thus says the Lord of hosts, return from your evil ways and from your evil deeds. But they did not hear or heed me, says the Lord. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
We're going to go to now Colossians chapter 3 and the first verse. Give you a moment to find that, as I do as well. And listen now to and for God's holy word to us this day. Therefore, when we could bear it no longer, we decided to be left alone in Athens, and we sent Timothy, our brother and co-worker for God. And I am looking at the wrong verse. You guys are going to be like, what? I had two pages stick together. They stuck together, and it threw me into Colossians 3. I'm like, that ain't right. All right. I'm going to repent and go back to Colossians 3. So if you've been raised with Christ, this is much better. Seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you've died. Your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. Now put to death, therefore, whatever in you is earthly, fornication, impurity, passion, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming on those who are disobedient. These are the ways that you also once followed when you were living that life. But now you must get rid of all such things: anger, wrath, malice, slander, and abusive language from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have stripped off the old self with its practices and have clothed yourself with the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge, according to the image of its creator. Blessed be the reading and the hearing of God's holy word this morning. All right. Today we're going to look at putting off old things. We're going to talk a little bit about the secret to how you make that stick. Because how many of us have given things up and given them up and given them up and given them up? I mean, some of us sitting here have lost 122 pounds. But we lost 4 and gained 5. We lost 3 and gained 2. We lost, you know, like, it's easy to give things up. It's not so easy to let it stick and stay away. So we're going to get into that a little bit as well this morning. I want to start, though, by telling you a story about something I went through, a restoration story. We're on the restoration journey, third part in this series. And it seems fitting to talk about an actual restoration story. This was a physical restoration. In our second home that we owned, we were kind of poor folk, and we had to constantly repair things. And we bought an old house, and we had all the problems an old house has, right? And we had been there for a while, And I had noticed before, I didn't think a whole lot of it, that the caulking just below the spigot handles on the tub, where the tub wall met the tile, that there was a little bit of caulk missing. I didn't think a whole lot of that. Until one day I'm in there and I'm showering and I'm getting ready, and a tile goes plink, tink, 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 into the bottom of the tub. I was like, oh, that's not good. And I went to inspect, and what I had behind that tile that should be drywall was a little bit more like pudding, you know? So water, you know, you don't ever try to tile pudding. It doesn't work. So water had just been, for who knows how long, wicking in there and wicking and wicking and wicking. So I went to inspect and I started poking and prodding along, and I thought, I wonder how many other tiles are loose. And I kid you not, in about 30 minutes, that one tile down here became a hole this big in the wall of my shower. Some genius, I'm not using that term politely, some genius owner before us, and I should have tracked this somehow, they had at one point, they decided I don't know why they did it, but they wanted new tile, new wall, and they left the old tile and wall in there, and they literally just threw another piece of drywall on top of it, and they tiled over it. So not only was that water wicking in there, that water was trapped between two layers of tile and would never dry out. I spent another day or so working at it, and I discovered it wrapped all the way around the shower enclosure. The wall was full of mold and mildew because this water for years had been compromising that wall through a gap of caulk about this big, like this little tiny gap of caulk. And there was no just, okay, let's put new tile up. There was no, we'll take out a few things. I had to rip that thing down to the sticks. I had to go down to the studs. I went in there and I annihilated mold. I killed it. I Cloroxed it. I did all kinds of things. I went back in with actual green board. If you don't know what that is, it's water-resistant drywall, which should have been in there in the first place, but didn't do that either. And I put that in there and retiled it, and it was days and days and days. And we had one bathroom, so that meant for days and days and days, we had no shower. You know, we did shower. We didn't have a functioning shower. We had a bath. We did bathe. Nobody get panicky. But I had to take, there was no way around it. There was no just, some things you can't just patch, right? Sometimes the only way forward is to essentially scorch earth the whole thing and start over. You just have to go down to the studs, so to speak. And I feel like this morning that this story that we're looking at from Zechariah, and to some degree in the New Testament, it's God saying, you know, it's not enough to just do a cosmetic makeover when you return to me. The folks of Israel, they had been called back to their land after 70 some years of being away in exile, drug off to Babylon, away from their home. They get to come back home. Many of you have been here last week, you've heard this story, but Jerusalem had been razed, it needed to be built back up, the temple was incomplete, they were walking into rubble, and that wasn't the issue of restoration. The people of Israel saw that as the restoration. That was the outward restoration. What we find in the first chapter of Zechariah is God says, hang on a minute. The real restoration is I am calling you back to me, and I need your hearts first. And I don't know about you, but I suspect you're like me. It's easy for us to simply want to deal with the exterior change, but never deal with the interior problem that got us there in the first place. And that's what God was calling these folks to. The whole reason they were in exile was because their fathers had turned against God. And God had called them again and again. Turn away from that stuff. Come back to me. Turn away from that stuff. Stop doing that stuff. And they just hardened their hearts and would not listen. And now God is offering them a new chance, and he's going, listen, guys, let's not start off on the wrong foot and just rebuild the temple and rebuild the city. First off, your hearts need to come back to me, and you need to be sure you don't repeat the sins of the past. You've got to deal with your history. You've got to deal with all those underlying motivations and things that are far from me. Because imagine what could have happened. And it did to some degree if we fast forwarded. They could have completely rebuilt the temple and then wound up with a godless people in it who didn't honor God. They had this beautiful temple, beautiful place of worship, but their hearts were far from God. And that did happen at times in the life of Israel, where on the outside they were making sacrifices, but God's like, I don't want your sacrifices. I want your hearts. And that's what this passage is calling us to. And that's why I say the secret behind lasting, sticking change is to make sure that we look beneath the tile, if you will. You know, we can't stop at the surface and only try to make the surface change. If we do, we're doing it by our might and our power and not by the Spirit of God, which is at the heart of this whole series, is how we come to this place where we yield these things over to God. Even in the New Testament passage today, when we look at it, there's places where it's saying things like, you know, no more anger, no more malice, no more slander. And it listed off a whole things of behavioral things which we could change. But did you listen closely to what it said before that? Before it got into those exterior cosmetic expressions, it said, set your minds on the things above. Do the internal work first. Because otherwise, the minute you get tired, the minute life gets hard, you'll go back to anger, malice, and slander in a heartbeat. If your heart has not been transformed, then your reaction when you get bumped will be spillover with just nastiness as a human being. So you have to do the internal work. And that's what God is calling people to. This, we're actually kind of doubling back. We looked at this, we read this verse the first week in a broader passage. And that theme was, I'm calling you back to me. And embedded within that call of return to me, the first step of restoration was, you got to get rid of that other stuff. You got to get rid of that other stuff. It's like going into a new relationship with your ex still hanging around. You know, like you can't, that just doesn't work. You know, you're like, nope, we got to get way far away from that, right? And that's really what it's like, right? I've got a new relationship. I got to come into this clean. This person's got to be completely out. And that's what God was saying. Like, you have these old patterns. And old patterns, sometimes old patterns actually originally were okay. And they were good things. That's the hard thing. We can habituate something that's good that doesn't serve us well later. I'll give a very mundane example of that. My mother-in-law years ago had, I believe it was a hip surgery. And she went through all the normative things of therapy and a walker and whatnot. And months later, when she should be completely fine, she went to the doctor, and she was still limping, and the doctor examined her, and he said, you know what? You're actually medically 100% fine. There is no reason you should be limping other than you've developed a habit of limping. She was fully capable of walking just fine. She had just habituated a limp. You know, that limp served her at one time. We limp because it keeps us from being in pain, right? You know, we do that thing where we just barely put the foot down a little bit, just enough, but we don't walk on it fully because we would hurt it, and it would hurt. And that limp was a very good, healthy thing to do early on. But imagine if he hadn't called her out and she had just kept hobbling. I guarantee you, I'm not a doctor. I played one in a youth skit once, but I'm not a doctor. I guarantee if she would have just kept limping and limping and limping, soon she would be back going, I've got this back pain and I have no idea why, you know, or something, right? Because it just would have thrown everything off. And we can do that. We can go through things that are painful and difficult, and we come up with a habit. You know, you can get, if you are in an abusive situation, you can take on behaviors that in the moment you need to protect yourself, right? You need to guard yourself. But what happens when that relationship is gone and you try to have a relationship with someone who is healthy and not abusive? And you carry all those old defensive patterns in, and you won't let that person in, or you push back and defend against things that aren't even attacks on you, but you've experienced so much that you feel like everything's an attack, and you're just living in this guarded place. And that could leave you kind of shackled from being able to move into a really life-giving, loving relationship God's trying to give you. So not all patterns were bad patterns when they started, but are they serving you anymore? That's really important. Now, some patterns, yeah, they're bad. you should have never been doing them in the first place. You may even know better. As I was thinking about this, and I won't recount tales. We might have a pastor committee after that. But like, if I look back to teen and college age years, I can't tell you how many things as I was trying to, you know, like assert my independence and come into my own as an adult that I bucked or ignored because I was going to do it my way, though I knew better. I knew better. I just willfully took on something that I knew deep down inside wasn't right. So sometimes we just have a defiant spirit, and old patterns or patterns get created because we're pushing back. We're just pushing back against God, and I'm going to do it my way no matter what you tell me. Sorry, God, but I will call you as soon as I need something. Flip side, you know, we push back until we need God. So I want to encourage you this next week to look at these patterns. But the thing is to realize it's going beneath it. And we're going to spend a lot more time on this next week, because next week we're going to look at God's work within this. There's work on our part, right? We have to put off the things. We do have to put off the anger, the slander, the malice. We do have to let go of it. There are outward expressions of that inner change that's needed. And we've got to do that work to help dismantle the patterns that keep us from restoration. But then at the end of the day, if we really want to be a new creation, it's God who makes us a new creation, is what the testimony of Scripture is. There are certain aspects of ourself that, left to our own devices, we're never going to overcome it. We have to turn to God. Now, I don't know about the rest of you in this whole restoration journey, but what I'm finding is doing this daily devotional, and if you're not doing it, it is not too late. I would encourage you to jump on board. There's no deadlines on this. You're not in a race against anybody else. There's not a test date. You know, like, you can start it anytime. But I'm finding that as I sit down, and for me what happens is I have a devotional guide, another short one that I read. It's a little one-pager, and I write on it. And then I've got my restoration journey guide in a little binder, and I open it up and I pull out my pen and I read through, and I like to underline and highlight things that grab my attention, and then I'll journal a little bit in the blank space that's there. I'll write a little bit, and sometimes it may bleed over into another journal I have. I find what's happening for me, it's a little bit like when I start reading, God is going, hey, come here a minute and let me show you something. Have you noticed this little gap in the caulk right now? Well, that doesn't look like a big deal, God. No, I want you to look really close. And while you're at it, poke around on that piece of tile for a minute, and all of a sudden it goes plink, and I'm like, I didn't want to see that, God. and what I didn't tell you, but you can well imagine when I started pulling all that off, and this happens a little bit in my devotional time. You start pulling that tile back, and you get to the nasty, bad pudding underneath. That stuff stinks. That just stinks. It's no fun to go into it. It's no fun to be around it. And I'm finding I have these moments where I'm reading that devotional guide and I go, oh man, I don't know how badly I really want to see and smell that, God. But I know this, whether I like it or not, I know this. Sometimes the only way forward is through, right? There's just no getting around facing the inner mess. But I will also tell you this. We got a really good, loving, patient God. And if he is bringing something up for you, it's really good. It's really good for you. And it's something you need to listen to, you need to pay attention to, you need to poke around at it. And it may mean you got to rip things down to the sticks. You may find there's things that just have to go. Just have to go. And I know from other restoration projects, if you decide to cut corners, you pay for it later. You know, if you're like, oh, I think I got enough out, but there's a little questionable edge. Nah. That'll come back to bite you later. you gotta go all the way down. Way down and trust God to love you through it, because man, the other side of that, it truly is being a new creation. It truly is being a place where you no longer have the yearning and the desire. If God can get in there and you can lean into God to clean up the things in you that you can't do on your own, to cry out to God and say, man, I tried it my way. God, this is what I can do. This is what I can do. I can behave differently in this way right now. That's the best I can do. But I need your strength. I need your power. I need your love for the stuff that has tripped me up and brought me back into self-sabotage again and again and again. And I'd be careful about how you ask. And Susan, I'm going to quote you from Sunday school a little bit. You're getting pulled into the... She went, uh-oh. Susan has several times... I don't know if you said your mom taught you this or where you learned it. The Holy Spirit somewhere brought it to you. But she said she's really careful. She doesn't pray for God's strength or God's patience. Because if you pray for... God help you if you do pray for strength or patience. Because how do you get strength or patience? You just go through really hard stuff, right? That is an invitation for lots of misery if you pray for strength. But I love what Susan does, and I think it's quite biblical. And that is, she said, I pray that God lends me his strength. I pray that God lends me his patience. That's what Scripture means by in his spirit and not our power, not our might. So when you look at these things, I want to challenge you to go to God and say, this is the edge for me, God. This is what I think I can do. This is what I believe I can do. This is what I know I can do. But I know there's more, and I need your strength. I need your patience. I need your forgiveness. I don't know that I can forgive this thing. I need your forgiveness to be able to forgive someone that's hurt me. I need your strength to let go of the habit that has bound me for years and years. May God meet you in that in a powerful and a wondrous way. As I said last week, when we hit our limits and then we reach out for God to what's beyond them, that's when the good stuff happens. That's when the miracles happen. That's where the wonder and the beauty of who God is shines through in what's going on in our life. So I want to encourage you to do the hard, messy, stinky work of facing that gunk between the surface. And my prayer for you is that God's going to meet you right there. Right there. You're not doing it alone. So praise be to God that we have a God that calls us this way, calls us to, and loves us right where we are, but loves us way too much to leave us there. Amen to that, right? Amen. Once again, thank you so much for joining us for today's message. If it was a blessing to you, I want to encourage you to like, comment, share, all the things. That kind of stirs up the algorithm so that more people get God's good news online. And also, if you want to know more about First Presbyterian Church or you would like to support our online ministry, go to fpcrogers.com and support us. Press the giving link you'll find up in the navigation. Again, thank you, and I look forward to seeing you in the next episode. If you have any questions about the restoration journey, just place them in the comments below, and I promise to get back to you as soon as I can. Bye now, and have a blessed week.